May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 727. Oh, that I knew the secret place where I might find my God. I'd spread my wants before his face and pour my woes abroad. Hymn 727.
Let us read from the sacred pages of God's Word, from the Book of Psalms, Psalms 25 and 27. Psalms 25 and 27. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Show me thy ways, O Lord. teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will he teach sinners in the way. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. Turn thee unto me, and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. O bring thou me out of my distresses. Look upon mine affliction and my pain, and forgive all my sins. Consider mine enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with cruel hatred. O keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in thee. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all his troubles. Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. in the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock, and now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Let us pray. Holy, almighty, eternal, just, ever merciful, long suffering, Lord God Almighty, three in one, one in three. Father, Son, Holy Ghost, help us to realize and may we truly be humbled and our spirit be full of awe as we address the majesty of heaven. Let our spirit be one of true confession, repentance, desire. Let there be light upon our heart and our life concerning our position and where we are and our debt and our sin, our corruption. But oh, let there be gospel light shining in our soul, upon our soul, that we might know thee. O Lord Jesus, the mediator, the Son of God, we approach thee on the mercy seat, on the throne. Thou reignest. In thee dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead. Thou art ever in the bosom of the Father, and the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, proceedeth forth through thee from the Father. Thou art the mediator, the daysman, a high priest. That thou art he that liveth and reigneth over thy people and will bring thy people to glory. Thou art our guide, our captain. Therefore, Lord,
I address thee. Thou hast died, a real death. We have got to die. May I know afresh that thou hast suffered for my utter wretchedness, my lies, my corruption, my sins, my heart. But thou didst suffer in love, beautiful, pure love, a love that is not understood in nature, only in grace, a love that cannot be expressed or explained, but a love that we plead might be received in our hearts. Didst thou know my soul in that hour, in that day of thy distress? Didst thou go through that fiery wrath that was due to me? Dear Lord, we know something of the fiery wrath because that is the way thou teachest to renew us and deal with us, to prepare us for the paths of peace and blessing. But oh, I bow before thee. Thou art triumphant, thou hast overcome. And O Holy Father, although we address thy Son, we address thee through him. Oh, whilst thou caused me to need him, whilst thou made him precious unto me, is it not thy love? Is it not thy glory and thy will? Thou hast placed all thy love in him. So we stand in awe, chosen, elect. Oh, we bow before thee. Thou hast caused us to hear his voice, thy voice, the voice of God. So we come to worship, but we come as ever as we always have, needy, poor, polluted, sinful, vile, light, frothy, stupid. We come indifferent, doting on self. We come, but Lord, we come confessing this. We come repenting of it. We come pleading thy blood. And we have to return again and again to our hope, the life given in the blood. So now we come, Lord. We would view Jesus, we would see Jesus, we would see thee, is what I mean. Let thy presence be known and felt. We can only ask. Bless the word, bless the gospel. Help us to realize thou art sovereign. Grace is free. It is indeed given freely through thy merit, through what thou hast done. Thou hast answered all things, done all things for thy people, suffered all things. But Lord, it is sovereign. Grace is sovereign. Thou art sovereign. We're only what we are by thy grace. Thus we ask that our hearts may be touched this day, the light and truth may penetrate in the covenant, and that the living waters of healing, life, blessing, love may flow into our poor souls. Lord, we pray that we may have a touch, a sense that we are known of Thee, redeemed by Thee, loved of Thee, and are secure in Thee. But it is a fight, a daily battle, a wilderness journey. O Lord, and Thy word tells us the days of darkness are many. And Lord, these things we know are true. Let us therefore, by gracious experience, know that Thou art true, and that Thou art with us, and will never forsake us nor leave us. Prepare me for Thy will in the remaining days of my life. Bring eternity near. Grant that we may know that we will one day face Thee, our Maker. Open to our hearts our need of Thy righteousness. If not known, make us honest. Make living truth clear to our soul. Bless this house of prayer. Bless the deacons. Remember the church, the congregation, the friends. Remember all in bereavement and loneliness and suffering and loss and unhappiness. Remember all in family life. Remember all in business life. Remember all in affliction. Remember all in special need. Remember the Sunday school and bless the word of the gospel, touch young hearts, the babes. Remember the babes, may they be Thine. So we bow before Thee and ask Thy blessing on this house. And what we ask for this house, we ask for Zion at large. Bless the ministry here. Bless Thy servants on the walls of Zion this day, Thy servants. The Black Boys and Horam, remember this day. Dear Lord, look down in mercy upon Zion. It is Thy Zion we are ministered and brought low. O have mercy on us. Remember the group of churches to which we are attached. Remember Thy one church in this land, the spiritual Israel. And through the earth, the missionaries, where Thy name is feared, Thy word is read. Remember all in distress in the deep places of the earth, where that genocide takes place, where there is persecution and war. Remember those in the distressed regions of the earth, and we think of the news of yesterday. O Lord, have mercy on this earth. Have mercy on Thy church. Thou wilt have mercy on Thy church, and they will be brought through. But it is through much tribulation we enter the kingdom. Bless the singing of Thy worthy praise. Prepare me for Thy will. Prepare me for the end of the journey, to leave this world behind. Prepare me, wash me, cleanse me, forgive me, have compassion on me and love me still, despite my infirmities and my sins. Lord, it's the will that needs renewing. It's the will of man that needs renewing. A new heart will I give You. Turn us heavenward. Draw us, draw me. We will run after Thee. Come by Thy Spirit. O Lord, wash my soul. Cover me in the robe of righteousness. Let Thy secret be in my heart. Kiss me with the kisses of Thy mouth. Thy love is better than wine. Bring me to the banqueting house. Save me. Bring me close to Thy bosom. Bring me to Thee at last. O Lord, we have to come into thy house ashamed, but all the fullness of thy atonement, thy death, thy love, thy dying, thy suffering. Come and bless us. Help, Lord, help, help. We ask all things in the worthy name of Jesus. Anything I've omitted, do make up in giving. Lord, I bless thee for thy mercies. I thank thee for thy mercies. We could have been cut off. Lord, we could be found in disgrace. Lord, let me not wander in my heart. O Lord, make me ready when thou dost call. May I be found clothed in the righteousness of the Lamb, great God of heaven. So I pray thy blessing on us. I plead thy name, Lord Jesus, before the throne. Come, awaken, awaken, warn, quicken. Awake from the dead. Awake from the sleep of a traditional formal religion. Bring us to need thee more. Bring us closer. Open up the gospel. Open the eyes of our understanding. Lord Jesus, I plead thy name before the throne. Come, 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 come. Amen.
Hymn 510. O Lord, rebuke me not in wrath, thy anger who can bear? 'Tis heaven to live beneath thy smiles, thy frowns create despair. Hymn 510.
Thank you.
in complete dependence upon the Lord, I would draw your attention to three words in Paul's epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 12, the opening words of verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, Hebrews chapter 12, the second verse, the first words, looking unto Jesus. Paul, in writing to the Hebrews, although modern theologians dispute that it was actually Paul, but that I leave. What they've forgotten is that he is writing to his own kin and not to his spiritual children in particular, from where he planted the churches. And he speaks concerning the Lord, the prophets, and brings forth the glory of Christ in it all. And in the preceding chapter, he speaks of faith. And I always have felt that chapter 12 opens in a continuation. When the scriptures were written, there were no chapters. They were inserted in medieval times. Some are nicely divided, others aren't. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. What weight? What's the weight? What's upon the spirit? What do you live for? That weight can be a weighing down some tribulation, but it can be some wedge of gold in the heart. And he says the sin which doth so easily beset us. I wonder what we know about that. And those weights are those things which hinder in a race, in a journey. And gold can take the heart. And tribulation can stop us flat. Sorrow. What is the weight? What is the sin which does so easily beset us? And he goes on to speak of a race set before us, a journey not of our own planning, not of our own will, but what the Lord has put us in. And the way that he has put us in is unknown to a pilgrim, except the end, the glory, the person of God, the safe deliverance. But all that is in between is wisely hidden and will be hidden. If you're dreaming of a future in religion, you're going in the wrong direction. But we have an answer to all things. Looking unto Jesus. The race. Today. Tomorrow as spared by God's mercy, and I don't exaggerate. Looking unto Jesus. Before I come into it, I'm going to be pertinent further. Why are you looking to Jesus?
What do you want Jesus for? Have we got to look to him because God will be pleased if we do as some form of duty? Or is it ever so nice? Oh, it's ever so nice. Oh, I do love Jesus. I be careful what I say. I'm being sarcastic. I would be careful what I say. But it's ever such a nice thing to read about Jesus in the Bible, isn't it? Wonderful stories and healing. And I know it pleases him, and I'm doing the right thing, so I'm sure I'm going to be all right. I wonder what looking unto Jesus means. And if your soul is in trouble, peradventure you might be under the divine light and teaching of where Jesus has had to suffer for you. There's something called a cross in religion. It's called a cross. And there's a nailing to the cross, and there's a taking up the cross, and there's a being crucified to the cross. But that's with Christ. For I'm determined, writes Paul to the Corinthians, to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. His people, by the glory as well of God, are crucified with Christ, their sins being nailed to the cross. And therefore, if you're brought to, by living faith in the preceding chapter, and the glory of those works of the patriarchs, you will be brought to desire to know him and take up his cross and suffer with him, that you might reign with him. In other words, where is our horizon? Is it for this life only? Or are we, do we have, and I'm not going to use the word eternal dimension, I don't like the expression. Or is there a living hope before us to be with Christ, to know him now, his mercy, and to know death, death within us now, sometimes swallowed up in victory. Sometimes now, he's overcome, or at the very end, to know it will be swallowed up in victory. So, dear friends, as we come to this word, we have to say with the disciples that were with Christ, increase our faith, increase it. The apostle is exhorting and speaking for himself. He's looking unto Jesus. And as we come to the word, and I'll leave the preliminary remarks now, let us consider a few things. There is a glory here. There is a purpose. There is a glory. There is a purpose in the word as inspired. There is a glory. There is a reason and a comfort and a blessing and a deliverance in looking unto Jesus for a poor, needy sinner. But that's the other side. Now let's consider that as well. What am I looking to Jesus for? He that suffered, he that died, what did he suffer for? Sin. But what sin? The world's sin. No, not all the sins of the world, but the sins of the whole elect, the chosen of God. Am I among them? My sins. The answer is yes. Yes. If you're his, if you know that gospel calling. Friend, if you know that separating work, beginning and continuing, unto Christ. And friend, oh, the forgiveness, the life that flows, the word in a season for your need, the word in season to your soul, a lifting up. There is a lifting up.
And there's only one lifting up that will satisfy and last. That is, if Christ lifts us up, or we're lifted up to him, that is what our text is about. For righteousness, to supply it. Holiness, freely bestowed, not my own. It's the Lamb of God's holiness wrought. He has his holy innate deity. That's his holiness. But the holiness of his life on earth as a glorious God-man, the Son, bestowed upon his people. His righteousness. Yea, his strength. His strength. How can anyone face death with hope? You think of all. Think of your family ties. Think of your delights. Think of your interests. Think of your securities. Think of your comforts. Think of all that earth holds and draws. Something far better. An overcoming. A strength to die. Because of the Spirit brings forth Christ to the soul. This word is the word of faith. It is faith. Faith that looks. Faith that believes. Faith that receives. How many fear their faith isn't true, isn't real. But it's the desire. It's the mark of living faith. The desire is not just an act without emotion, without breath. Living faith, friend, isn't just an act of the mind. It is a desire. It is a thirsting. It is a receiving. So, looking unto Jesus, first of all, it is God's glorious will and purpose to provide everything that a sinner needs. God foresaw this before the world was created. I have not the understanding or grace to tell you when the awful matter of sin, a challenge to God, entered into the angels, some of the angels, and a spread like a disease among them in a moment. But it did. And there was a war in God's presence. And the evil angels were cast out. And they have found a dwelling place on the earth. And they dwell in men's hearts and take over. But God foresaw all that you need in Christ as a needy sinner. Can that be true? What do you need this morning? Everything you need is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything. But can that be so? Let's get simple. There's that little matter tomorrow. That worry. That decision to make. That's something I can't face. Whatever it might be. What a fullness of love. Power. Willingness. Might. Is in Christ to work without being seen in an enemy's heart, in your heart to strengthen you, and or to shine and show you the right way, and to bring you to know what is for his honour and glory. I'm talking about simple daily matters. You know, you want a door opened. You want something done. But you know, you're labouring over it. You're labouring over it. Oh, that we might be given the grace to commit it to him. And that my labour might be Jesus first. Christ in my heart first. First him to satisfy my heart. He can open those doors. But all the time we're labouring over something that's wanted, borderline covetousness almost. I'm not saying it is, it might be a necessity. There's the awful labouring. You might as well go bang your head against that wall over there to get what you want. You won't get anywhere. That Christ might be the fullness of our desire. He knows your need. He will open that door. I'm being simple. I'm trying to use the illustration of the fullness that is it with him for all your need. Spiritual, eternal, daily, pathway, a fullness of cleansing, a fullness of forgiveness. God placed it there. He placed it there. You know, it's a wonderful truth, this Christ begotten, the only begotten of the Father. And we have this also proceeding from the Father. And we have the understanding that he ever dwelleth in the bosom of the Father. And in him is the fullness of the Godhead. It pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Yet, he's a real man. He assumed that flesh, took that flesh by the power of the Holy Ghost working. By the will of God, the act of God, was a child formed in the womb of the Virgin by the Holy Ghost, deity, and grew as a person. So how can he dwell in the bosom of the Father, and so forth, and so forth? God is a spirit, and they that worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth. Friend, blindness through sin, or even judicial, legal blindness in religion, can holds us back from knowing that the spirit is mightier than the body. The breath is the very giving of God. It is the soul. Do you know what your soul is? You can't see it, but it's life. And your breath is, your life is in your breath. And the breath is in the life. And it's the life that keeps the body going. God is a spirit. It's the spirit of the man. But Christ, although a man, although born, and although died, rose again, the power of deity, the Godhead. And it's in that power, in this man, all things provided. More than just bodily healing. Friend, that is provided. Bodily healing. pathway provision, answers to prayer, helps by the way, strength imparted, but more than that, grace on the soul, a new heart, eyes to be opened, hearts to be touched, a secret. Friend, some of you might be carrying a natural secret in a family, or certain members of family, or certain of you. There are church matters, of course, which you keep to yourself, which others would not know about. What I'm trying to say is, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. What secret do you know, secret knowledge of the Lord Jesus as your Saviour, your Redeemer, your life, your hope, your beloved? Now God will work this sovereignly in the heart, and it will bring you to this text daily, constantly, hourly, looking unto Jesus with a longing to be with him, to feel him near, a longing, an urgency, grace, love, comfort, blessing, a kiss, a soul kiss, his arm around, and I don't exaggerate, spiritually I mean. I don't mean literally, spiritually. Support. When he is with the soul, you know you're a new creature. A new creature in Christ Jesus. Now this might seem rather high, but it is a fact. A new creature in Christ Jesus. Sin subdued, sin forgiven, sin put away. In whatever way he will show us that I have to leave. We only know what we're given. You can't attain to it. You won't ever attain to it yourself. It doesn't make you big or someone to be looked up to because the Lord has blessed you. It's according to his will. But these blessings are to be had with Christ. And if you've had a little touch from Christ, you're going to want them more. And to have a little of Christ in the soul, it's a drop of the ocean, the same nature of the ocean. And every ingredient of the fullness of the ocean might be in the little a touch received. Now let us wind these thoughts down. It pleased the Father. The Father loveth the Son. The union of the Father and the Son is the same union of God the Father with the church, because his people are found in Christ, in Christ. So this looking to Jesus, that God has purposed in the Word, in his Word, that his people should find a complete refuge, a complete fullness of God in him, is his will and his blessing and his love working in the soul by the Spirit. Looking unto Jesus. And what a provision God has provided then. Today, help. Tomorrow, what of yesterday? How can I look back and say I'm looking unto Jesus? Well, I certainly am. Are you? What a covering. What a covering. What a blotting out. What a putting away. You know, you and I can forget the past. We'd love to forget some of the past. And I'm being serious. I'd love to forget it. But I can't. You've got to give an account of yesterday. You can't hide from it. What a fullness in Christ. What a fullness of forgiveness. What a fullness of love. What a fullness of grace. What a fullness of atonement. What righteousness flows. What a glory the Father has done here. In an exalted Christ, a risen Christ, a triumphant Christ, an overcome Christ. Friend, I loved myself to know something more of his sufferings, but we have to go through suffering to have communion and fellowship with him in it. But it alleviates the suffering and the sorrow. It brings the wonders of what he has done to the soul. But all remember, if you are brought to know anything of Christ, it's because he rose, triumphant over the death. He rose over death. He conquered death. It's a tremendous thing. And there is the fullness of life in God, in the overcoming for his people, as grace may be given to us to see that he is risen, and to feel the resurrection power and his breath in you, his love in you. Well, that's what we're looking for. So there's a description of why we want to look to Jesus. For all that God has provided for us. So let us then consider why I'm looking to Jesus. What do I feel? Why do I need him? The second point. Why do I need? Do you need him? There's a lovely text. There are lots of beautiful texts in the scripture. But my God, says Paul, and he was Paul's God, and Paul knew by gracious experience, shall supply all your need. But my God shall supply all your need according to his completely lost it. I'm so familiar with these scriptures, I just completely, sometimes my mind goes blank. Forgive me. I'm sure everyone's going to quote it out in a minute. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. What is your need? The riches in glory by Christ Jesus. What is your need? The supply. What is your need this morning? Come now. What is your need this morning? An honest heart will lay out several needs. I mean, I would do the same. There's one above all. You might have a headache. You come to God's house with a headache. And it's such a hindrance. It's marring something. Yes, the simple, you want it taken away. But, you know, that's wrong. That's not what I'm going to talk about, am I? What is above all? Give me Christ, or else I die. And I read Psalm 25 and 27 with a purpose. With this in mind. Pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. There's little wounding, there'll be little healing. Great wounding, glorious healing. What does Christ mean to you? Is he half a Christ? Or do you need a whole one? You know, do I need to be so deep? Well, Perhaps for you I don't need to be, but I do for myself. I need him myself. Friend, I need a whole forgiveness. And I wonder how many of us can honestly say, with a heart in agony, and it's not pleasant, it is great. Do you know the corruptions? Alien friend, every breath that turns away from God is sin. And if you think I'm being too deep, the thought of foolishness is sin. And that which is not of faith is sin. And that means in worship and spiritual things. But Christ answers all things. He answers everything. Everything. You know, what man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. Not what the man shall choose, what God shall choose. And that's love working, deep love. But you know, another desire, well, that pardon mine iniquity. And, you know, show me thy ways, O Lord. Thy ways. You know, the enemy will always put in the soul, yeah, but it's a hard way. It's a narrow way. And you'll finish up like one of those miserable people you don't like, nature doesn't like, and so forth. All the seeds that Satan puts in the heart. God's way is best. You know, friend, all your need. Oh, the tender ear of the Good Shepherd. Do you know anything about Jesus' tender ear in your distress? The tender heart, willing ear to help, to bless, to save, to provide, to undertake in the Good Shepherd. But we've got to know the Good Shepherd, friend. It's knowing the Good Shepherd. And it doesn't mean you've got to know all about him before he does anything for you. It's desire to know him. Desire to know him. Willingness to follow him. But you'll want the drops. You know the expression, the fullness of the heavens. We have a few showers this morning. And there's a lot more moisture up there, you know, in the clouds. But we just get the showers. And they're a wonderful thing. You know those little blessings. Mr. Herbert Dawson used to speak of little B blessings and the capital B blessing. And those little blessings, those little showers of help. You know, but he says, doesn't he? Oh my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. You want that trust. You desire the trust. And can I trust in Christ? Can I trust there is a way in prayer? Can I trust there is blood that I can plead? Can I trust him to let me pray? Will he let me pray? Does he hear my prayer? He may not answer straight away, and I may feel he is withholding, but he does hear. The Son of Man is deity, as well as man. But those other desires, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, looking unto Jesus. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. It doesn't just mean coming to chapel. If you notice, David speaks of the secret of his tabernacle. You know, I believe, I probably worshipped, be careful what I say, I believe there has been true spiritual worship when I've been alone, on the Pilgrim's Way in Kent. between Detling and Hollingbourne. And I believe in my kitchen when I lived at Elsford. And I believe in a house, in a bedroom in Maidstone. True spiritual worship. The secret of his tabernacle. Friend, I'm trying to preach the living desires of a distressed soul who wants Christ. That was my object in coming. What do you need him for? Are you content with Jesus just for this life, on this earth? Or do you long for him, and that's his appointment, to be with him in glory? That's a very deep, high thing to say. But if Christ is made precious, that we are living one day to be with him, how does that find me this morning? How does it find you? Well, what about if I've not got the desire? What of my sins? What of those infirmities? What are those things holding back? Can I still look to Jesus? The answer is yes. 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 A fullness of grace. Pardon. Think of his, well, may you be led to his sufferings. Why did he groan? Why did he sweat blood? Because of my heart to answer for my sin, that justice in the bosom of his Father, in the nature of his Father, may see the blood and pass by in his dying, in his death. Because of my hardness, my worldliness, my forgetfulness, my lack of understanding, the corruption of my will, but grace draws, blood draws, his sufferings draw, his dying hours draw, his victory draws, his overcoming draws, his gospel draws, his healing draws, his mercy draws, his power draws. I don't know whether any one of you have seen animals die, how they struggle to live as they're being killed, in by whatever means, perhaps in foul means. And when a person is suddenly being taken ill and dying, how they struggle to live. So is the spiritual struggle. It's a struggle to live. Give me Christ, or else I die. He has overcome. Friend, you've got a dying hour. A dying hour is before us. And not one of us knows when that will be. But oh, the dear dying Lamb, he's overcome. He's appeared to your soul. And the fight of faith that is in the preceding chapter, and those acts wrought out by faith point to the overcoming, the victory of Christ. He has appeared, and it will not be a struggle. When faith is made lively and active by the Holy Ghost in his sovereign way, there is a rising up, a triumphing and overcoming. But how you want the Lord to bless your soul? When will he forgive me? When do we make it plain? Beloved friend, there's only one time you make it plain. That's when Christ is made plain. Friend, you want words made plain. Well, I put to this to you, let Jesus be made plain. Let his overcoming, let his righteousness, let his love, let his dying love, let his resurrection be made plain. Yes, the words will come in his hour and season, but it's not words. It's not a religion of words. It's a religion of faith in Jesus alone. He is the way of life, the way of holiness, the way of righteousness, the way of peace. And there's me, a poor struggler, a sinner, unrighteous, unholy. How can it be? How can it be? Looking unto Jesus. Looking. Looking, watching, waiting, praying, following, pleading. Yes, even I'm going around in circles. The Lord can manage your circles, you know. He'll lead you out of them eventually by and by. You see if I'm not right. He can lift you out of the miry clay, the horrible pit, and he'll lift you up. Look at Jonah in the whale's belly. He said, yet, when I look again toward thy holy temple. What a wonderful thing, what a wonderful thing. What a deliverance, what mighty power. David in that Psalm 27 prayed, I'd fainted unless I had to believe to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I'd have fainted, I'd have sunk, except I believe to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Faith as an object, Jesus only, a mighty Saviour. A mighty deliverer, friend, and a full atonement. A full atonement, a full forgiveness, a full pardon, a full life, a full happiness. So we've come to chapel this morning. And I wonder how many of us, really in our hearts. Now, I'm not saying particularly this morning, but there are those seasons when you do go to the Lord's house. You need him. You need him. Has he ever failed you? Can I ask a question? Does he fail? Does he fail? No. There may not be the full deliverance, but there is the encouragement. There is the light. There is the word given. The word in season. Looking unto Jesus. The promise to be fulfilled. The word upon which I've hoped. His hand to be with me. To make my way plain. To bless me. When will his time be to bless me? When will I get a deeper blessing? When will I, my soul be really filled with his love in my heart? So my feet are upon the rock. But I look to Jesus for it. I pray to Jesus. Why? Because there it is. The Lord can sovereignly drop down blessing in the heart in a moment. But you know, it is the Father's will that his Son should be exalted in your life, because that's where his God is exalted. God is exalted in his Son. And there alone, your soul drawn to him. Friend, and living faith looks to the ever-flowing gospel. What do I mean? What do I mean? Do you not believe the gospel is always flowing? It must be, because God is always living. And he's a living God. He isn't a God that's not living sometimes, and then he's living next week, and then he's not living the following week, and then he lives the fourth week. Not at all. The gospel ever lives. It's a living stream, but it's to discover it, and it's to be brought nigh to its living waters. It's us who change. It's not God. He changes not. He changes not. It's us who change. When will he bless me? When will he establish me? When will I know my sins forgiven? Is there not a looking to him? See the living waters flow. The blood, Calvary's blood. That's what I want to know. Looking unto Jesus. Now, he does go on to say, the author and finisher of our faith. In other words, what you're going through, Christ has already gone through. It can't be true, can it? How can I relate my life and all my sins and all my life and so forth and all my to Jesus? He went forth in the way of righteousness. And there he's gone before you in the way of righteousness. When you're brought to the paths of righteousness, he's also suffered for our sin. And he's borne the curse and the shame of all that is defiled mankind, all that's defiled your heart. And he's redeemed and he's brought you. But he was in the path of righteousness, for every step could only be righteousness. But he's brought you to follow him in those steps of righteousness, to unfold you the mystery of the gospel hid from ages, of the fullness of Christ's suffering and being made sin. What a word. I don't think half of us believe it, you know, that Christ was made sin, you know. I know the Bible says it, but I wonder how many of us really understand or even can even begin to even to want to know about it. The author and finisher of our faith. And here comes the connection of him going before you in your life, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. And that's why we've got to look to him. Endure the cross. Because, dear friends, we take up his reproach. Separation. Not my will. I've told you before. You know, Christ in the garden, yielding up his will to his Father. I know his will was holy and pure, but he asked for the cup to be taken away. His will was always with his. That was his. He did the will of his Father. He delighted to do it. But to die. To die. To make atonement. The hideous nature. I can't describe it. Friend, if you know, if you're taught to the Lord, sin is horrid. And if it's not, there's something wrong. Sin is horrid. And you don't want sin, even though you do sin. Even though you might be tempted to be drawn aside into some particular sin, some disgraceful thing. Yet you don't want it. It's against your nature. A new nature, that is, not your old nature. A new nature, a new heart. But the old nature. See the conflict, see the fight, see the need to look unto Jesus, the battle within. The old nature loves it. The new nature doesn't want it. And what a fight, what a punch-up goes on within. And I tell you who will win, the old, but Jesus reigns and he'll win. He'll win. He'll win for you. Even when you're in the miry clay, he'll still take you out and win for you. Who endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. I may leave this word altogether, I may not, I do not know at the moment. But I just leave the word with you. Looking unto Jesus. I wonder, friend, the Lord knows whether we are. The Lord knows how we are. But what a wonderful thing if you need him. Oh, you're a favored soul if you need him. You really need him. You'll die without him. You'll weep without him. You long for him. You say, but I came to chapel this morning, fully aware that last week he fully blessed me. Well, does that mean you don't want him any longer then? Don't you want it again? Don't you want long for it again? Friend, you're a living soul if you're looking unto Jesus. In a full way, everything. There's nothing you don't want him in. You need him in totally to come into your life and manage and take over. He will make the room in the heart. I leave the word, whether fully, I don't know, or whether I'll come back to it, looking unto Jesus.
The collections last Lord's Day were £925, for which we are very thankful. And the amount taken from the boxes for the car park fund was £350, and the fund is now closed as the car park is completed. God willing, Mr. Rosier will administer the Lord's Supper after this evening's service. Mr. Sayers will preach on Tuesday evening. And God willing, there'll be reading services next Lord's Day. Let us close with hymn 306. Oh, the pangs by Christians felt when their eyes are open, when they see the gulfs of guilt they must wade and grope in, when the hell appears within, causing bitter anguish, and the loathsome stench of sin makes the spirit languish. Hymn 306.
And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Ghost, abide with us each, now, forever. Amen.